Hello and welcome to the podcast edition of Scripps 5 Must Know Things. This is Ian Haydock. This week, Genmab buys into ADCs, Roivant set to take on AbbVie in uveitis, Ipsen signs first ADC pact, South Korea looks to build biotech momentum, and the end of the road for Acorda. Genmab is to acquire privately owned ProfoundBio in an all-cash transaction worth $1.8 billion, which will bolster its pipeline with early and mid-stage antibody drug conjugates, or ADCs. The Denmark-headquartered firm's announcement on 3rd April is just the latest in a string of deals seeing established biopharmas snapping up ADC companies and assets, making the space one of the most dynamic in the sector, Andrew McConaughey writes. Seattle-based ProfoundBio's pipeline consists of three clinical and multiple preclinical programs, including Rina-S, a potential best-in-class folate receptor alpha-targeted TOPO1 ADC, currently in phase 2 of a phase 1-2 trial in ovarian cancer, and other FR-alpha-expressing solid tumours. The companies are the combination of ProfoundBio's novel ADC platforms with Genmab's proprietary antibody platforms, also opens up the chance to discover and develop other new therapies. The addition of Rina-S to Genmab's portfolio will enable Genmab to deepen its presence in the gynecologic oncology space and other solid tumours. It developed the antibody component of Tivdak, the cervical cancer ADC it co-markets with Seagen and Pfizer. The only existing FR-alpha-targeted ADC on the market is Elahere, which is approved in the US for FR-alpha-positive, platinum-resistant epithelial ovarian, fallopian tube or primary peritoneal cancer patients treated with up to three prior therapies. It was developed by ImmunoGen, which was acquired by AbbVie in November for just over $10 billion. The acquisition comes just 2 months after ProfoundBio raised $112 million to take Rina-S into a pivotal study, and the buyout is part of a strategic expansion by Genmab. It has developed numerous blockbuster drugs, such as the Johnson & Johnson-partnered Darzalex, but is now moving into commercializing its own products for the first time in its 25-year history. Roivant Sciences said it's poised to take on AbbVie's Humira in non-infectious uveitis, a leading cause of blindness, after reporting phase 2 data showing that brepocitinib met its primary endpoint in a trial design that the company intended to set a higher bar for efficacy than AbbVie met in its pivotal trials. With the successful data in hand, the company also announced on 2nd of April a $1.5 billion share buyback program involving reacquiring all equity held by Sumitomo Pharma, Joseph Haas writes. Roivant's subsidiary, Priovant Therapeutics, is developing brepocitinib, a dual TYK2 JAK1 inhibitor, specifically for non-infectious uveitis, or NIU, a subset within the global NIU patient base. Priovant also has the candidate licensed from Pfizer in phase 3 for dermatomyositis, with data expected in 2025. Roivant perceives a blockbuster sales opportunity for brepocitinib in a setting where steroids often are the first-line therapy, while Humira, which is typically used in second-line therapy, is the only drug with a US label indication for the disease. Roivant, Priovant are discussing phase 3 plans with the US FDA with the goal of initiating a pivotal study during the second half of 2024. The company's management told an investor call that the drug could yield multi-billion dollar revenue in NIU, noting that there is nothing in phase 3 development for the disease and limited potential competition in phase 2. Turning to the share buyback, Roivant CEO Matthew Klein explained the up to $1.5 billion buyback is a way to help clarify its capital allocation and financial return strategies and also provide liquidity to Sumitomo, which has a complex relationship with Roivant dating back to 2019 when the Japanese pharma acquired five Roivant subsidiaries and conglomerated them into Sumitovant Biopharma. Roivant will utilize some of its $6.7 billion in cash, which ballooned after it sold subsidiary Telavant and TLA1 antibody RVT-3101 to Roche Holding for $7.1 billion up front last year. The arrangement with Sumitomo will reacquire the Japanese firm's entire ownership stake for an estimated $648 million and reduce shares outstanding by 9%. Roivant said. Ipsen has resumed its oncology shopping spree and moved into the antibody drug conjugates, or ADC, space for the first time by linking up with Sutro Biopharma of the US. The French mid-sized pharma has inked a deal that could be worth up to $900 million, including $90 million in near-term payments and an equity investment, to get its hands on Sutro's STRO-003. The preclinical next-generation ADC targets the receptor tyrosine kinase like orphan receptor 1, or ROR1, tumour antigen, which is known to be overexpressed in many different cancer types, Kevin Grogan writes. Ipsen will be responsible for phase 1 preparation activities for STRO-003, including submission of an IND to the FDA, subsequent clinical development and global commercialisation. Mary Jane Hinrichs, who's head of early development at Ipsen, said the asset is a highly stable conjugate that carries exatecan payloads and had shown significant promise in solid tumours rather than hematological malignancies. This is a very early stage deal and Ipsen's first in 2024, but Hinrichs noted that such partnerships are integral to building a strong pipeline from the ground up. There are currently no approved ADCs that target ROR1, but there are a few companies having a go. Leading the field is Merck & Co.'s zilovertamab vedotin, which the US giant got hold of through its $2.75 billion acquisition of Velos Bio in 2020. It's currently in a number of Phase 2 and Phase 2-3 lymphoma trials. Also interested in the target is Boehringer Ingelheim, which acquired MBE Therapeutics also in 2020 for €1.18 billion, in a deal that centred around MBE-002. This anti-ROR1 ADC went into Phase 1-2 studies in June 2020 for triple-negative breast cancer and other solid tumours, but has not been a success. Boehringer has not given any readouts or updates on the study, but it concluded last August having enrolled just 12 patients. Sutro also announced plans to raise $75 million from an underwritten offering of nearly 14.5 million shares of common stock, proceeds from which will be used to advance luveltamab tazevibulin, its registrational stage folate receptor alpha-targeting ADC for ovarian cancer. With Johnson & Johnson set to establish its third Asian J-Lab site in South Korea, and Merck KGaA planning its biggest APAC investment in a major bioprocessing centre in the country, global big pharma firms now appear to be shifting more of their attention to the Northeast Asian nation. More activity may be on the horizon. The new interest may be related to ambitious central government plans to attract global capital and talent by setting up major biotech clusters and providing various other incentives as part of a drive to foster the biopharma industry, Jungwon Shin writes. In remarks to a recent discussion on public welfare, South Korean President Sukyol Yoon vowed to progress the planned K-Biosquare cluster in Osong and pursue regulatory innovation to create a local version of the Kendall Square Biotech Hub in Boston. During the discussion, Daewoong Pharma's head of manufacturing operations raised the need to speed up the initiative given that time is competitiveness and Korea is standing at the crossroads of becoming a leading player in the field amid rapidly changing global biotech competition. The executive urged the government to provide exceptional support to accelerate K-Biosquare. In addition, Korea's Ministry of Science and ICT said that it will lay out detailed plans to foster a core labour force in the sector, including support for the establishment of an artificial intelligence and bioscience talent school by 2027 in the same region. President Yoon noted a small number of major Western countries have dominated the traditional biotech sector, but as the industry moves towards the integration of cutting-edge AI and digital technologies, a large door of opportunity is opening up for Korea. Yoon unveiled a national cutting-edge bio initiative as part of these ambitions, as part of which the government plans to sharply raise R&D investment in the digital health sector, including AI-based new drug R&D, digital therapeutics, and the creation of a data platform for research use. Economically, the goal is to raise the value of biomanufacturing in the Korean national economy to the equivalent of around $148 billion by 2035. There will be an initial injection of around 500 billion Korean won into the first stage of the K Biosquare Hub project over the 2025 to 29 period. It is hoped the project will foster collaboration between industry, academia, research institutes and hospitals and attract around 200 biotech firms, including from overseas, and create 20,000 jobs. Finally, it's no longer a rare sight to see a biotech file for bankruptcy, but it still raises eyebrows when a firm established nearly 30 years ago and which had a significant degree of success, such as Acorda Therapeutics, goes out of business. After cancelling its fourth quarter conference call at the last minute, Acorda filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection following a lengthy review during which the company explored a wide range of strategic options. As part of the process, it has signed an agreement with Merck Pharmaceuticals, with the German group serving as the stalking horse bidder for the US firm's assets. Kevin Grogan writes Merck has offered $185 million for the assets, which include Ampyra, Vampyra, which is approved to improve walking in patients with multiple sclerosis, and Imbruvica, an inhaled formulation of levodopa for Parkinson's disease. Ampyra was given the green light by the US FDA in 2010 and was a big earner, with sales peaking at $542 million in 2017, before Acorda lost a high-profile patent infringement case a year later. Generic competition then battered Acorda's hopes, which was forced to reduce its headcount by 25% in 2019 and then 16% in 2021. For the first 9 months of 2023, Ampyra sales were just $45 million, 17% down on the same year-earlier period. Biogen sells the drug outside the US, but announced earlier this year that it was returning its rights, effective 1st January 2025. Acorda had high hopes that Imbruvica would soften the blow of sinking Ampyra sales, but that had not worked out. The FDA issued a refuse-to-file letter on the drug in 2017, but finally approved Imbruvica, which Acorda got hold of through a $525 million acquisition of Civitas Therapeutics in 2014, at the end of December 2018. While the company had hoped that Imbruvica would become a blockbuster, it brought in just $25 million in sales for the first 9 months of last year. Previous to that, Acorda had suffered a major setback in the clinic with Tosadenant. The A2A receptor inhibitor ran into major safety concerns, including patient deaths in late-stage trials. Acorda CEO Ron Cohen said that management had evaluated all of our strategic options and, following an exhaustive process, believes this option is in the best interest of stakeholders. With Merz acting as a stalking horse, other potential buyers may come forward before the process concludes in June. Acorda's demise came in a week when another biotech, Eiger Biopharmaceuticals, filed for bankruptcy after its long-running financial problems and R&D setbacks came to a head. The US company has also inked a stalking horse agreement for the sale of Zokinvy, the first ever treatment for premature aging condition, Hutchinson-Gilford progeria syndrome, with Sentinel Therapeutics, which will pay up to $26 million. That's all for this episode. Many thanks for listening. Log in to access all of these stories, linked below, and all of Scrip's much more extensive content. Or sign up for a free trial if you're not already a subscriber. Bye for now.